Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome back to the Roker Report Extra Podcast. Sunderland scraped past Southend 1-0 at the weekend, but unfortunately followed it up with a truly embarrassing 2-1 home defeat to Leicester City's Children. So it's safe to say I'm in a truly shite mood when it comes to regarding Sunderland, but with no League One action on the agenda for at least a week, I'd like to welcome Matt to discuss Gillingham's game against us on Saturday in the FA Cup from Gills in the Blood. How are you doing, Matt? Are you well?
I'm good, mate. Yourself?
As I sort of said before, a bit of
last night aside,
bit of a shite mood, but last night aside, yeah, not too bad.
I didn't know you was playing. It's not a competition that too many show much interest in, is it? Let's be honest.
No, not at all, mate. I think it's one of those competitions where if you win, fair enough, it's all good, and we got the final last year. But I think if you get beat off an under 21 team, it just I can't quite describe it, but I'm a little bit embarrassed, truth be told. But it is what it is, isn't it? You've got to get on with it. Nothing much you can
That's
do.
Yeah, you have to play the games, unfortunately, whether you like it or not. I mean, we're already out as well, so I don't think we take it too seriously. We see it as an opportunity to just play the kids and those that need minutes.
Yeah, we used to do that when we were a Premier League team. Now we play a full first team and get beat off other people's kids. So
they're clubbing it with the likes of Gillingham.
Both our games were midweek clashes last year, so you're Gillingham's yes. debutant on the Extra Podcast. Are you proud?
100%, yeah, definitely. I'd like to thank my parents and you, you guys for inviting me on.
We had two games last year that produced a lot of goals, actually, if I remember right. It was
4-3 on aggregate, I think, wasn't it?
4-2, yeah, 8-3 in aggregate. Probably one of the best memories I've got of last season. Certainly one of, anyway, there's a couple. Was that 4-1 win early on in the season when I thought we were just going to hammer every team that came against us? Didn't really happen. But this season, it's the FA Cup for the very, very first time. It's the first round. We had Port Vale, I think, last year. But the FA Cup, do either of us really care?
It's another tricky one, isn't it? I mean, for people of my age, I mean, I'm 37. I grew up thinking the FA Cup was the greatest domestic competition in the world, but unfortunately it's lost a lot of its magic over the years because all the TV money is now in Sky Sports, meaning you've got to get in the top four, and people sort of in that division, and you know about that, you was in that division up until a couple of years ago, like you've already said, it's all about finishing as high as you can in the league, and it seems that the FA Cup's become sort of a poor relation to the Premier League now, unfortunately. But it's nice if you can get to the third round as a team, especially for a club our size, no disrespect. Obviously, you're a massive club compared to us still, even though we're both in the same division. But for us, it's about getting to the third round and trying to get a decent draw like we did last season. We managed to knock Cardiff out in front of a decent crowd and then went to Swansea and unfortunately got beat in the fourth round. But I'd imagine promotion has to be the aim for you lot, and it's probably just a bit of a hindrance, isn't it, in all fairness?
A little bit. I mean, we've actually only opened up one end of our stand, which is probably a sad indictment, isn't it, on the FA Cup itself? That
it is, yeah, definitely. And you're not the only club. That's not a one-off. That's unfortunately the norm now for these early rounds of the competition. It's until you get a Premier League coming to town or you go to a big Premier League ground, then that is just the way it is now with the FA Cup, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, last year it was unusual for us because normally we've entered in my lifetime, we've always entered, and in most people's lifetime, we've always entered at the third round in January. And there was a bit of romance about the third round, but the first round we were away to Port Vale, and then we got Walsall in the second round, and we played Walsall like three times in a week. So the romance of the FA Cup was completely gone for us last year. But you've sort of touched on it before already. You made it all the way to the fourth round last year. So obviously, it's probably still a bit of recent romance for Gillingham fans with the FA Cup, is there?
Yeah, there is again. And again, that's because of the relative sizes of our two clubs. For us, it's a money spinner at the end of the day, whereas we know we're never going to win the FA Cup. I mean, I remember back in 2000 when we was getting ourselves into the championship now for the first time and only time that we've ever done it. And we got promoted that season at Wembley, and we got to the quarterfinals for the only time in our history. We got battered by Chelsea, and a certain John Terry scored his first Chelsea goal, I think, in that game, or made his debut or something like that. And yeah, we beat, I think, Sheffield Wednesday en route to the quarters in front of a packed Priestfield. It's you can find it on YouTube. We scored a really good goal, Nicky Southall volley, and John Motson was in basically what was a building site of our Medway stand now, like our main stand that you boys would have come and visited last season, because yeah, it was being rebuilt. Yeah, so I remember sort of days like that when we put out Bradford and Sheffield Wednesday were Premier League sides, but until last season it's been pretty slim pickings over the last few years. I mean, we've been beaten by Brackley twice in the last few seasons on the telly, National League North, and it just seems that we like getting first or second round trips all the way up there, because we've had Hartlepool last season in the first round. The season before that, we had to go Carlisle in a replay. This year, we've got to come and see you lot. So,
you just love coming up here.
It's a long way for very little reward. I think that's the trouble.
I suppose one question I would probably ask, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, I suppose Gillingham playing against Sunderland, which would have then been a third round tie, would be a good draw. But
yes,
when it came out of the hat, what was your, and feel free to be as positive or as negative about this, but what was your overriding emotion of getting Sunderland away?
Me.
Yeah.
That was literally it, because it's miles.
Yeah, it's a hell of a distance.
I'm not going to go. I mean, like I just said before we come on, unfortunately, I'm 4 weeks since knee surgery, so it's too far for me at the moment. And
too far without
it's a long way to go, and the chances are we're probably going to get beat, and that's the way it is, unfortunately. We're going to make changes. I think Steve Evans has said we're going to probably make a few changes to give minutes to those that need it. I'd imagine you lot are going to make quite a few changes, because Phil Parkinson's probably prioritising League One, which he has to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a very sort of, if it was all that way to play a crappy non-league side that you think, oh, I've got, you know, sort of a 9 out of 10 chance of beating them, fair enough. But it's not a glamour tie like it would have been 3 or 4 years ago, because then it would have been all a trip to a Premier League side.
Yeah,
but it's not anymore.
It's very much
shit for 2 years.
It's very much,
we've been shit for 125 years, so don't worry about it.
I don't think there's anything more sort of, you said meh, which is kind of probably how most of us on both sides felt, truth be told. And I think when you're looking at the tie itself, there's nothing worse than playing a team you're already playing in the league in the cup, is there? That's like the worst draw you can
get.
Like
you said last year, I think you played Walsall like 2 or 3 times in a matter of a fortnight, it seemed, and it was just like every other game you was playing. I mean, it just becomes monotonous, and fans aren't going to want to go and see it. Once is bad enough, like you say, two times you might get away, but the third game, people aren't going to want to bother.
Different to last year, though, isn't it? You mentioned already you had, I think you had Hartlepool last year, and if memory serves me right, you needed a replay.
We were seconds from going out. Yeah, we drew the home game 0-0 in one of the most boring ties you're ever likely to be unfortunate enough to attend. And I went to the home game. And then I think we had to rely on a last-minute equaliser, Tom Eade's penalty, I think, in normal time, and then beat them 4-3 in extra time.
That's right.
See, for days like that, it's, you know, if you can guarantee that you're going to go up there and win, then fine. It makes the travel all worthwhile. But we all know football's not like that. You could invariably go all that way and get absolutely tanked.
Or you could just get beat up in the 21 side at home.
Exactly. And then you get beat, and then you get home at like 3 or 4 in the morning, and that's not fun for anyone. So.
No, it really ain't. It really ain't. Like I say, we got knocked out in the second round last year, and we did sort of utilise it to play. It was a relatively strong side we played in the first round. I think at Walsall we made a few changes, especially in the replay. But how likely is it Steve Evans will take the competition seriously this year in terms of a full strength side?
I don't think it'll be what we would be calling our full strength side. But I still think Steve Evans doesn't know his best 11, because obviously he's only been in the job this season, and he brought in 14 players in the summer. So for what it's worth, I don't think Steve Evans knows his best 11 still. I think there's been two or three that have disappointed that he brought in. I think there's been a couple that unfortunately have been carrying niggly injuries. Like Matt Willock, we got in and was supposedly going to be, you know, a game changer for us, and he's played 45 minutes of league football. He got a virus in pre-season, missed a couple of games. Then he came back against Bolton's under 13 side that we beat, and got a bang on the knee, and he's been out ever since. And that was end of August. So I think he might get minutes if he's available, because there's talk that he's back training. I'd imagine we'll probably make about half a dozen changes.
And he's the boy from Manchester United, Willock, isn't he? He's also Is it Chris Willock who plays for Arsenal, scored that beauty the other week?
Joe's at Arsenal.
Joe, that's right.
And they've got Chris, who I think is at West Brom. Who was it? I think he's on loan at West Brom from Benfica or something. There's three brothers, yeah, and unfortunately we've got the Crockett, it seems, at the moment.
Worst of the lot, eh?
But, yeah, well, you can't tell. We haven't seen him fucking play. So.
you talked about new signings and that, and obviously I think the big thing that stuck out to me outside of the signings that you've got was Steve Evans being technically the biggest name probably of all of them. Bit of an infamous fella for kind of all the right and maybe some mainly wrong reasons, but how are Gillingham fans taken to him?
He has history with us, and he's been very, very divisive, his appointment. I said when it was first rumoured I didn't want him to come into the football club. I thought there was better younger managers available. I think like Paul Hurst was available at the time, and
yeah,
who'd done really well at Shrewsbury at this level. I know he got burnt a little bit at Ipswich. Daryl Clark had been very good at Bristol Rovers for pretty much all of his reign, got him out of the National League, through League Two and into League One. But they're both in League Two now, and they're not pulling up any trees at that level. So it's always hard to, you know what's going to happen. It's impossible to gauge. But I just think he's had history with us before, Steve Evans, with previous clubs, and a lot of our fans haven't forgiven him. But I was slightly more open-minded after going to a Q&A session that he did when he first came in, and I've not seen anything too untoward from him yet in terms of touchline antics. A couple of yellow cards and fans are jumping on his back. And there was an incident with Ipswich's manager a few weeks ago, and all our fans straight away, oh, it's Steve Evans' fault. And I think too many people are just trying to, you know, batter him for the sake of battering him. I'm trying to remain open-minded. I think the squad's generally better than last season, but we missed Tom Eaves massively because we're not clinical in front of goal, and it is going to continue to hinder us if we don't get a clinical front man in, unfortunately. The football's better, don't get me wrong, but the last two home games have been pony. Really, really bad. We two-goal head start for Rotherham, two-goal head start for Peterborough. You ain't going to get up the table if you keep giving teams two-goal starts, unfortunately, at any level.
Out of curiosity, what was his history with the club? Like, you mentioned there was some history there and stuff like that with Evans. What was it that particularly...
He had history with one of our club legend, Andy Hessenthaler, when he was in charge of Crawley or Rotherham, I think it was. There was talk of racist abuse from Hessenthaler's part, and Evans was going to report him, but he got asked this at the Q&A, and in fairness, he could have swerved it, but he answered it head on, and people then make their own opinions, don't they? Like I say, I'm trying to be open-minded. The biggest thing for me is, if I'm supporting Gillingham Football Club, is if he's winning us football matches, and he was a manager that had to come in and hit the ground running, and he probably hasn't as much as we'd hoped. So, and there was obviously the Boston thing is quite well documented, isn't it? That he got himself and his football club in trouble a few years ago. But he answered a question about that as well at the Q&A, and it's then up to people whether they take it at face value or whether he's lying. And I tried to take it at face value. And the thing, like any manager, we can't make a proper sort of opinion on it until we've played 46 league games. If he finishes above 13th like last season and we get more points and we play better football, then it's probably the right appointment. If we struggle all season and he finishes lower than 13th like we did last season, then people are going to say, what was the point?
It's a funny one to judge, isn't it? I suppose the success of any new manager coming into a club who finished anywhere from mid-table downwards in League One last season, because it wasn't unbeknown to us, but thankfully we spent most of last season like around the top three, top five. But anyone from the middle of the table downwards kind of was in and out of the relegation places and then up to mid-table on a weekly basis. So it's like you finished 13th last season. I think you're currently 16th. But we're talking about new signings and people that you brought into the club and new manager, but the big takeaway from me when I was looking through the League One squads with Gillingham, you lost probably your best two players. Have you replaced them well enough?
Thomas Holy, I'd say just about yes. Jack Bonham's proved to be a very good signing. We got him in, I think, from Brentford. A free transfer.
Yep.
And he arrived at the same time as our goalkeeper coach, who was at Brentford as well, Simon Royce, who played for us about a decade ago and won promotion with us. And he's been really, really good. And to be honest, I wasn't sure about him when he first arrived. I thought he was very quiet for a keeper, but he's just got better and better over the season, aside from Saturday when he had a massive part in the first goal along with our centre-half, Conor Ogilvie, unfortunately. But I think he saved three penalties already this season. He was unbelievably good against Accrington the week before last and helped us win 1-0. And I think he's a more than able replacement for Thomas Holy. It's the other end of the pitch, unfortunately, where we're taking five or six chances to put it away. And when we had Tom Eade last season, if you got half chance in the box, nine times out of ten, it was going in, and that always gives you a chance in games.
When it comes to Tom Eaves, I think it was a player that a lot of Sunderland fans quite liked the look of and were tempted to bring in last year. He's gone to Hull. He hasn't done particularly well based on goals. But what is it that losing Tom Eaves, takes away from Gillingham?
Goals to start with. I mean, he's got 40 in two seasons. So obviously that's a massive chunk, especially when you don't have a great budget like we don't. And you have to rely on a bit of wheeling and dealing and getting free transfers in, and you have to hope that you can strike gold with a couple of them. I think one of the big things, aside from his goals and his own game last season, that was we played him up front with Brandon Hanlon, and he was really impressive when he played alongside Tom Eaves. And now that Tom's gone and Evans wants to play a slightly different system, I think Brandon Hanlon's having to try and learn to play a new role as the season's going on, which is really hard. He's having to play as a lone striker if we play three up top. And if he's playing in a partnership, he's playing with someone else that's very similar to him, not a Tom Eaves who could, you know, win flick-ons, play with his back to goal. And it's. I think, unfortunately, we've got our top scorer hasn't scored since the 7th of September, so that's all you need to know. And he's got four, and that's Alex Jakubiak. I'm a big fan of Brandon Hanlon, but I think he was a better player alongside Tom Eaves last season. But yeah, the biggest thing is goals, isn't it? Strikers are judged on goals at any level, and to lose someone who got 40 in 80 games is massive, especially when we can't go and spend, you know, half a million or a million or whatever, 250,000 on a replacement. We obviously, like last season, we laughed, and we're scraping the barrel for, you know, free transfers, and you boys are bringing in Will Creed for 4 million in January, and we're thinking, yeah, there's levels.
feel free to have him if you want, is the way things are going at the moment.
Not that Jack Ross got anything out of him, which I think says more about Jack Ross than Will Grigg, unfortunately, because Will Grigg should be scoring you 25 goals comfortably at that level because he's done it all his career.
Yeah. I mean, there's something not right there, and that's it's a long conversation. Long conversation regarding Will Grigg and the things that are right and the things that are wrong. I think, which is why many people quite like the sound of sort of Tom Eaves. So maybe potentially coming in, but I was surprised he went to the Championship. I've got to be honest with that. And I'm not surprised he's struggling either, because he struck me as a very, very good League One striker. But do you think, obviously we're only in November as well, so this could be egg on my face, but were you surprised he went to the Championship?
Surprised in the sense that, like you say, his whole career has been League One and League Two. And if even from our fan point of view and myself, when he arrived in, what was it, summer 2017, you looked at his goal record previously to that, and it was shocking, without being rude. I think he scored four goals in 40 appearances for Yeovil the season before in the bottom half of League Two. So, but we spoke to him for the channel 6 months after he joined, and he said that he was doing nothing different at all. It was just that after he joined us, everything it was going in. And he said the season before with Yeovil, I think he said he hit the post and the bar about six or seven times. So if he'd got 12 and he'd come in, then people would have gone, oh yeah, it's not a bad signing. But yeah, of course, you look at his goal record prior to us and you think maybe the Championship is a step too far. But I don't think there's one Gillingham fan that was going to begrudge him the chance to go and have a go at that level, because every professional footballer wants to try their best at the highest level they can. And I know Grant McCann was a massive fan of him, and he was Doncaster manager, so I think that had a big part in it. And he went to hold in the and bought Eaves in. So I think Grant McCann was trying to get a sort of good mix of the squad that he had available at Hull, and then obviously trying to bring in decent League One players to supplement the squad, because I know he brought him in, and he brought in, I think, he brought in one of your boys, didn't he, George Honeyman?
He brought in Honeyman, yeah, he brought Honeyman. Yes.
And I think he brought in Ryan Tafazzoli, who was at Peterborough. He got him in centre-half on a free transfer.
Right. Yeah, he brought a few in, actually, from League One, like top League One players.
I think he was trying to sort of, you know, get the best that was available from that division within whatever their budget is. I don't know what their budget is. And yeah, I mean, I think he's got two goals, Tom Eaves. He got one against Sheffield Wednesday. He scored an absolute belter at the weekend. If
against
you've seen
Fulham,
on social media.
Yeah. Was it Fulham he scored against?
Yeah.
I think it was. I'll have to fact check.
Jacob Irving had a shot and Tom Eaves tripped over the ball on the 6-yard line.
It was.
But he might need that. That's the sort of goal that you need when you're struggling for form and struggling for goals. It might just be the boost that he needs, and he might get a run of games now and go and score a few.
It's the come off your arse sort of goal, isn't it? It's that kind of goal where you just say, I don't care if it comes off my arse as long as it goes in. And
exactly, the type of goal that probably Will Grigg needs at the moment, and then you might get a run out of him.
If anyone hasn't seen the goal, by the way, it is quite funny. I managed to see it the other week. I just so happened to have Quest on and watched it, and he literally does trip over the ball in the back of the net, doesn't he?
Yeah, he literally falls over it and it just trickles in because the keeper's out of position. Yeah,
screaming.
Yeah, that might be something that he needs, and he might get a start now. So, because he's been in and out of the side. That's the struggle as well for any player at any level as well. If you're not starting regular games, you know how hard it is to, you know, try and build up any rhythm and build up relationships with other teammates and stuff like that. So some Jules fans hope that he struggles and we're getting back on loan in January. But
fingers crossed. You've got to hope for that kind of thing, haven't you?
I think it's a little bit of wishful thinking.
Now, I very rarely do this in the extra, but I thought I'd try it because I didn't really want to talk about Sunderland too much, but I suppose I have to in a way. But bit of quiz time for you here, right? So.
Right.
Bad memories for us, but you may remember it, unfortunately. But Gillingham have faced Sunderland 11 times in their history, apparently. But how many times have Gillingham actually beaten us?
So they're all going to be back when I was very young, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
So obviously we played you twice last season, you won them. But how many, 11 times?
11.
The two most memorable ones, is it the playoffs, isn't it, from 87?
The playoffs is the one and only time you've beaten us, apparently.
Was that at the Priestfield, and then you beat us something like 5-4 ridiculously at Roker Park in the second leg, didn't we? I think, but did we go through an away goal?
You went through an away goals. Yep, that's right. I mean, saying that, I wasn't there to, and thankfully, I wasn't there to live through it, as it's quite infamous at our end for all the wrong reasons. But yes, we went out in away goals. But I found out today that was the only time Gillingham have beaten us. So if I'm saying something that's going to guarantee we get beat this weekend, I thought I might as well just say it anyway. Do you know what I mean?
But good. Well, you're right.
But we've beaten you 7 times, so that's a good. That's technically a good omen, I guess, in a way.
3 draws, then, aren't you?
And we've drew 3 times. But another question for you, a bit more quiz time. Mm-hmm. The first time you visited the Stadium Light was in 2004. What was the score, and who was the Gillingham goal scorer?
2004, so would that be the 3-4 season or the 4-5 season?
It was the 3-4 season.
So that would have been in the Championship when we was punching well above our weight.
And you stayed up that season, I think, by like a point or something like that? A goal difference?
I'm taking a right stab in the dark here. Darren Byfield?
Darren Byfield did score for us. He actually got the winner. So you actually bang on with that. That's a bloody good memory, that. Many people wouldn't get it. And Sean Thornton scored our first one. But the Gillingham goal, can you guess the Gillingham goal?
Oh, so he's another one that played for both then, Darren Byfield, isn't he? Because he played for us as well for a period, I think.
I didn't know that. He played for a few. I know he's married to Jamelia. I know that much, or was.
But he is married to Jamelia, you're correct.
Which is a better fact than maybe...
2003-04... I'm struggling, I'm not going to lie.
Patrick Agyeman,
blimey.
You played up front with Mamadi Sidibe that day. Not a bad forward line, that, for you.
He was all right, to be fair. He came back and played in a charity game last spring, I think, and he was still in really good nick, to be fair, and he was absolutely huge because we sat right behind the dugout for it. It was like a celebrity thing against Jules Legends or whatever. And, I mean, they were scraping the barrel for a couple of the so-called legends, but... yeah, he was still in really good nick, to be fair. He's huge as well, really good. I think he's like a personal trainer or something now, and he was massive. But yeah, still get about the pitch, to be fair to him. Yeah, I think we got him off Wimbledon.
You did.
The original Wimbledon.
The proper Wimbledon, yes, the real one.
Yeah. And the most famous of our players to play for you lot, I think, would be, well, in my time, is Nigel Noseworthy. I think he's like a bit of a cult hero at both clubs, to be fair.
Love Nugsy. Love him. I was just looking at your bench from that day. He actually didn't play for you that day, but your substitute bench was actually pretty good. You had Matt Jarvis and Andrew Crofts, who both went on to play in the Premier League, on the bench that day.
Both played internationally as well, yeah. Matt Jarvis won one cap for England, and Andrew Crofts won a few for Wales.
So he did. That is very, very true. When it comes to players, though, you have mentioned someone who I was dying to come on to now. Nyron's someone who's sat in the same room as me. We've also randomly prank called him once for some bizarre reason when we were all very hungover. But Nyron is... I love Nyron. I love Nugsy. And I think Sunderland in general really, really like Nyron. He was absolutely terrible when he first came. And we've I think we've told him as such, anyone who's met him. But you kind of mentioned he's a bit of a cult hero at Gillingham. Is he really, really loved in Gillingham as well then?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, because he came through the youth system as well.
Yeah.
We're going back to the back end of the 90s now when he first broke through.
Yeah.
But he'd play absolutely anywhere. He played right back, centre half. I think we used to chuck him up front if we were struggling in games. And I think he only scored one or two goals for us. But yeah, he was a really likeable kid at the time. And it was, again, it's for clubs like us, it's great to see homegrown talent go on and do well and get themselves to the highest level that you know available, and obviously played in the Premier League for more than one club. I think, didn't he? I think he played in the Premier League for you guys, and I think he played in the Premier League for Watford as well.
Watford, he was at Watford, Sheffield United, and I think he retired at Blackpool. He was at Blackpool, but Blackpool when they were bad. Blackpool.
I think
not
he
good
went
Blackpool.
Somewhere even lower than that afterwards. I might have had a spell at like somewhere like Dagenham and Redbridge right at the back end of his career. But
I think you're right. Actually,
Christ, it makes me feel old.
I think you're right that he played for Dagenham. Have you ever heard him speak?
I haven't. No, weirdly, because obviously when he was with us was before, you know, social media and YouTube and podcasts and all that got really big. To be fair, so everything we sort of at the time was either, if you were lucky enough to, he was on a TV interview or a radio interview. God, that makes me sound old. And it was read in newspapers then, you know, sort of the good old fashioned way.
He's got the smoothest voice that you could possibly ever come across.
I don't know where he is. I'd love to get him on the channel for a chat, but I don't know where he's based now or anything like that.
I think
we have to
Nugsy's still down south.
Get people that are locally based, but
I'm pretty certain he's still down south because we had him on the show in, oh God, before the season started. And I'm pretty certain he was up here for a talk-in, so it was just by chance. I'm pretty certain Nugsy's still down south. I don't know what he's doing, but he actually looks younger than he did in his playing days.
I think he's like Benjamin Button, isn't he?
He is. He's basically Benjamin Button. Yeah, pretty much. We've talked a bit about former players and whatnot, but one thing I suppose is probably good for me to ask. I do a thing every single week where I look at the three players to pick out for Gillingham. Now, last year was relatively easy. You had Thomas Holy, you had Tom Eaves, and then you had Max Aymer. But this year, a bit more difficult. So if you were to pick three players that we should probably look out for on Saturday, assuming you play a first team, I guess, which would be the three that you'd say we should watch out for?
Be really predictable and say, based on current form, aside from one error, like I say, on Saturday, I'd say Jack Bonham, the keeper, who's been really impressive since he's come in. He's got four clean sheets at the moment, probably deserves a couple more based on his performances, but has been let down by individual errors at key times, unfortunately. He's been really, really good. I've been super impressed with him, getting him in on a free transfer. Brandon Hanlon, I'm not ashamed to say, I think he's one of my favourite Gillingham players. If he scored more goals, we'd probably end up selling him because he's got pace to burn. He's powerful, never stops working. Last season, he was in the game that you won at Priestfield 4-1.
Yeah.
We said that one of the most abiding memories that we had of him, bearing in mind he'd only joined that summer, so this was only like the third or fourth league game, I think, wasn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
Played with no fear at all. And even when we were 4-1 down, he still wanted the ball, still being positive, still trying to make things happen. And as a kid who'd come out of non-league, I think we'd signed him from Charlton, but he'd been at Bromley the season before on loan. I just thought, playing with no fear and still wanted to try and make things happen when he could have quite easily just hid behind his mark and not wanted the ball, I thought was something that really stood out for me. And he ended the season really strongly. I think he scored at the Stadium of Light, ended up with 9 goals in his first season at league level. And I thought that was a decent return for a kid that, you know, basically played non-league all his life. And he's the same this season. He's another one. He just needs to relax in front of goal. And if he was more clinical, I think we'd have one hell of a striker on our hands. But like I said earlier in the pod, he's learning a new role slightly now that Tom Eaves has left. But yeah, really enjoy watching Brandon Hanlon play. I've got one left, haven't I?
Yes.
It's tricky because we keep changing the front pairing. And then the players that we bought in that came with the most pedigree have all been a bit of a letdown, to be honest. Alfie Jones, I would say. Generally, up until the last couple of weeks, has been absolutely immaculate. Got him on loan from Southampton. Signed him as a centre-half, in fairness. He played the first games at centre-half, and then we moved him into holding midfield, and he's been really, really good. Either as, you know, as a midfield pivot of two if we play 4-2-3-1, or as at the base of a diamond if we play 4-4-2. He's been really, really good on the whole, and I said a few weeks ago, if he carries on in that vein, he'll play Premier League football within the next probably 2 or 3 years. So that's my three. Jack Bonham, Brandon Hanlon, and Alfie Jones.
I love Alfie Jones. My football manager, or championship manager as it used to be, playing heart was warm there when you said Alfie Jones, because I signed him for us. I think I was manager of Plymouth, and I played him in the anchorman role, and he was brilliant. Yep. I think he was only 17, 18. Got him on loan. It was superb. So I quite like Alfie Jones, just because of a fictional season that I had with him in my head.
Yeah, we've been brilliant. It's funny how you sort of like players that do well for you on computer games,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. It's like Kennedy Bacchus Hughley will always have a place in my heart, even though I don't think he ever did anything in actual football. Unfortunately, Sunderland have never had that many good players on Football Manager to my memory, but if you had to pick players that you think could damage Gillingham on Saturday, which ones would you point out towards the players that you think could cause you problems?
Well, the obvious one's Aidan McGeady, but Parkinson's not playing him so much, is he?
He is, but he's off form a little bit. He's been in the past few weeks, but he had an injury not too long ago, but he's been back in the past few weeks because he's had not too much of a choice, because Lyndon Gooch is currently injured, and Embleton's injured for quite a while, I think. So yeah, he's kind of like McGeady sort of has to play at the moment, which is, some people think he's still our best player, some people think he hinders us. It depends which way you look at it, I guess.
The thing is, again, it's all about levels, isn't it? And
yeah.
As a Gillingham player, if they said, could you pick three players from the Sunderland squad that get in your side, we'd probably fucking pick all of them. Because, again, it comes back to budgets and stuff like that. But
you can have some of them.
McGeady at League One is ridiculous, in fairness. I liked George Honeyman last season. I thought he was really good against us.
I love George Honeyman.
Max Power was another one who I followed at this level before, because he was at Tranmere, I think, before he went to Wigan, and then you got him off Wigan.
Yeah,
he was superb when he was at Tranmere, so he's a player that I've sort of followed and recognise. Again, I'm not sure whether he's playing regular. It's tricky,
yeah,
because obviously you're only a couple of weeks into a new manager coming in, so obviously he's probably still trying to find his best system and his best 11. And Luke O'Nien's a player I like.
Love
as
Luke
well.
O'Nien.
I love players that can play, you know, in fact, weirdly, you're talking about players that you can that you sort of relate to because they're good for your computer games. I got him on a free transfer for Gillingham on FIFA this week, and he can play right back and centre mid, and I think he's a really good player in real life as well as on FIFA 20. So
great,
yeah, Luke O'Nien, I think he's a really good footballer. Again, it's like your front line should be scoring goals for fun, the likes of Mark McNulty and Will Grigg, but it's not that simple, is it, real life?
No,
like we say, it's not
unfortunately
Football
not.
Manager, and it's not FIFA, and you have to make sure that you get the right people into the right systems, but I'll take plenty of your squad, I won't lie.
You can have, like I say, you can have some.
A game at the moment. Wasn't he playing, was he your, one of your, he was in contention for player of the year last season, one of your keeper, and he's not even in the team at the moment.
McLaughlin just got back in because of the injury to Lee Birch, but if it wasn't for his injury, yes, I think he'd be warm in the bench. It's been a weird season in terms of expectation levels and what's actually happened, but I think it all comes down to recruitment has not quite been good enough in my personal opinion, but I'm sure people will agree or disagree with that.
Of course.
Going into Saturday,
Tom Flanagan you've got as well. There's another one that's played for both clubs, just thought of that as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Tom Flanagan, he was on loan at us when we won League Two in 2012-13.
What did
he
think of him?
He was younger then, so yeah, so there's another one that's played for both teams.
What did you think of him?
He's done all right. I mean, he helped us win the league, so you can't really complain. But it was six, seven years ago, and obviously he was a young lad then, and he's not old now, is he? So,
28,
but he's done all right for himself. Got into the Championship, I think, didn't he? And
yes.
I think he played in the Championship with Burton. So
he did. He was there with Burton. He's been with us since the start of last season. He's not Tom Flanagan not as bad as people think he is, in my opinion. Nowhere near as good as we need him to be, is my summarisation.
Again, it's all levels again, Flanagan. Isn't it? That's the thing.
Yes, maybe. But you will probably see him on Saturday. He played last night and obviously didn't do very well. But if you were to make a prediction, just to kind of finish off for you here, I'll go with my prediction first. I've actually changed my mind. I've started giving mine first to take the pressure
go
away. But I'm going to say 1-1 because it's just typical, isn't it? That'll go to 1-1 then be a bloody replay. And we've got to travel the length and breadth of the country again, literally weeks before we play you in the league.
But yeah, that's not too far away. It's the 7th of December, I think, isn't it?
7th, yeah. It's the 7th of December indeed. I'll be there because the student ticket's only £6.
Very nice. Yeah, it'd be a little bit colder than it was last time, so you might want to get try and get yourself one of the seats under the roof because that scaffolding ain't fucking fun in winter.
It was boiling, wasn't it, last year when we went?
It was like late August, and it was absolutely roasting. Yeah,
wonderful day that. It was meant to be,
freezing.
That's when everything was due to be fixed, but I suppose unfortunately not. But yeah, just to cover off prediction, give me your prediction.
I'm going to be really boring, unfortunately. Because it's tricky, like we said, because we don't know what teams are going to play. I'd imagine both sides are going to be much changed from last weekend, at the very least. I'll try and be a little bit positive then, and I'll say the same scoreline as you, 1-0. It'd be nice for us to make sure a team from a million miles away has to come all the way down to our place for a replay. So,
perfect. Well, Matt, thanks very much for coming on. Do appreciate your time, mate.
No, it's been really fun. Enjoyed it.
I'll probably speak to you again in a few weeks.
I'd imagine, yeah, definitely. Why not?
Awesome, mate. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Stone. Take care, buddy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.